When we look around us, the cycle of violence, the cycle of hate, is an endless cycle, isn't it? You hurt me, I hurt you back. And on it goes. Think of the Highlander clan. Did any of you watch the series The Highlander back in the day? The guy with the sword. That's all I could remember. Hey? And he used to do very dodgy stuff. And in preparation of that, I just Googled the video again. And he chopped people's heads off. That's what he did. And as a kid, I was allowed to watch that. Wow. But anyway, things have changed. James will never watch that series. But eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, tit for tat was the custom of that series, the custom of the day. It was completely acceptable in the Old Testament and in Jesus' day. And it made perfect sense. You attack my family, I attack your family, and we're okay. The playing fields are leveled. And Jesus even alludes to this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and onwards. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The trouble with that is that it seems it's a never-ending cycle. When you turn on the TV and you flip on the news and we hear about the gangs in Cape Town killing each other, it's tit for tat. In our schools, it happens quite often. You hit my friend, well, I'm going to hit your friend. Or at work, you steal my parking space, I'm going to steal yours. But surely there must be a way to break this cycle. And there is. There is only one way, but it's quite counterintuitive. But it's the only thing that could stand a chance of breaking that tit-for-tat cycle. And this is how Jesus puts it. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In other words, you take the hit and it stays there. You absorb the hurt. When somebody hurts you, you choose not to retaliate and the cycle ends. Now before you have your mid-morning nap, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 44 and onwards, and unpack this teaching of Jesus together, because we believe that if we get this, it could have a lasting impact in this world. Or you can open up your Bible app or scan the code on the bulletin and turn to Matthew 5, 44 and onwards. But I tell you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now this morning, we're just going to do three things out of this text. Firstly, we're going to determine who is your enemy. Then secondly, what does it mean to love them? And lastly, how is that even possible? So who is your enemy? What does it mean to love them? And how is that even possible? So the first thing we'll do is determine this morning, what does the text consider as your enemy? For the teachers of the law and the Pharisees there that day, they were under severe Roman oppression. And therefore, they considered the Romans as their enemies. But for the Jews, it didn't just stop there. The Samaritans, the Gentiles, anyone outside of the Jewish fold, they considered as their enemies because they weren't part of God's chosen ones. And Jesus even highlights that in the text this morning. From verse 44 onwards, Jews, Pharisees, teachers of the law, your enemies are those who persecute you, those you consider evil or unrighteous, tax collectors and pagans. In their context, these were their enemies. Now for us today, who would you consider your enemy? Let's think about that for a minute. Who would you consider your enemy? But some of us, in our context today, our enemy would be somebody who would oppose you or would try to hurt you, or even someone who persecutes you. And this persecution could be quite literal, where they attack you and your beliefs. Or if you're not sure if you've ever been persecuted, the word persecute means to pursue with harmful intentions. To pursue somebody with harmful intentions. And so, it could be any person who repeatedly tries to harm you in any way or form. Kind of fight with you in order to get that position at work or that parking space. But it goes deeper than that. It could be someone who repeatedly goes against your will. They may not even call themselves your enemies, and you might not call them an enemy. But all they do is resist your will at all cost. It could be an uncaring person, a non-listening person, or even somebody who's just ill-tempered. It might be that irritable neighbor that complains about everything you do in your yard. In our South African context, it could be any criminal or someone who deliberately infringes on your constitutional right. Or as Christians, an enemy could be someone who deliberately takes away your religious right to faith in Christ. You know who you would consider your enemy. Now let's look at what Jesus tells us to do for them. How does he want us to treat them? Jesus wants us to love them. Yes, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Man alive, that's difficult, isn't it? You're thinking about your enemy right now. And for so many of us, our first response would be, do you know what kind of enemies I have? Do you know those people and what they've done to me or done to this world? I can fully relate with that. As one afternoon, it was quite a while ago, cycling back home from school that day. And as I turned into the one street, there were a group of guys standing in the middle of the road having a chat. And as I cycled towards them, the one signaled to his friend, and immediately they both looked at me. And as I cycled closer, they kind of walked and followed me and tried to block my way on the road, to the extent that there was no more space left on the road for me to avoid them at all cost. And as I kind of approached them, they pushed me off my bike and I fell onto the curb. And then they all gathered around me and hurled insults at me, called me fat something, and kicked me a bit and that kind of thing. But a friend of mine who lived quite close saw this happening, ran towards me and kind of helped me out, and I got on my bike and I raced home. I was furious. Absolutely furious. But grateful at the same time that I was okay and was able to cycle home. But that day, I had found my first enemy. Or they found me. Everything inside of me wanted to call my friends and go and show them a thing or two. You know? And the brothers and the aunts and the uncles and the whole family, let's go. But after a heated conversation with my Bible study leader that night, he shared this very text with me and also helped me come to the realization that there was a time in my life where God and I were enemies. Where I had done things to harm him, where I had done things to harm others, but he had loved me enough to send his only begotten son to die for me. His enemy. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus made it possible for me to change from an enemy of God to a friend of God. Colossians 1:21 puts it this way: we who were once enemies, alienated from God, were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior, but now we have been reconciled by Christ's physical body through his death and are now presented holy in God's sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Friends, we were all enemies of God. But through the saving work of Christ, we can now stand before Him as friends, as children of God, and then as His children, like the text says, we are challenged to love our enemies as Christ has loved us. And we believe if we get this, if we fully understand this and apply it to our lives today, it will have a lasting impact in this world. And some of you completely know what I'm talking about. Because every person in this room has been an enemy of God or of another person at some stage in your life. And when your enemy didn't give you what you deserved, but loved you and gave you grace and mercy, it had a lasting impact on your life. And I believe that could be the reason why Jesus challenges us today to love our enemies. Because when we love and pray for them, we become the instruments of God in this world. And in the hands of God, an enemy can become a friend. In the hands of God, an enemy can become a child. This morning we've determined who our enemies are, what we need to do for them. And now it's all about how is that even possible? How's it even possible for us to love our enemies? So let's look at how God wants us to treat our enemies, so that by some miracle, they might become our friends. Just in case the teachers of the law or the Pharisees, and even us today, think that this is a New Testament thing, that this is a Jesus teaching. It's not. If you would like to take notes, Exodus 23, verse 1 to 9. God teaches us how to treat our enemies. And we've obviously got to translate this into a modern day context because we don't have donkeys anymore. But it says this, Exodus 23, verse 1 to 9. If you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner. If you've come upon your enemy's tablet or banking details, take it back to them, right? And maybe tell them that you've got the login details. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you, struggling beneath a heavy load, don't walk by. Instead, stop and offer them help. If you see your enemy next door, the neighbor that keeps complaining about you cutting your lawn, struggling with his lawnmower, maybe go across, have a knock on the front door and say, can I help you with your lawnmower? It might reconcile that relationship or not. That was the Old Testament context, but we can apply it to today. And then just in case we think, well, that's Old Testament law and doesn't apply to us, Jesus covers that as well with the famous old story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. Remember that story? If you're taking notes, it's Luke chapter 10, verse 30 and onwards, where Jesus teaches us how to deal with enemies, how to deal with those who we don't really like. And we are challenged to do it like this Good Samaritan, not like the Jew that kind of walked past, or the tax collector that just had a look, but like the Good Samaritan, willing to help the guy out, treat his wounds with a bit of olive oil, bandage him up, and go to an inn and pay for him to stay there until he gets well. When we apply these teachings of God, His teachings of fairness and kindness to our enemies, we show them how different we are from this world. Because this world still, you can see it all around us, lives by the model of tit for tat, eye for an eye. If we apply these teachings, we show the world that Jesus is indeed different. Christianity is indeed different from all the other religions. And so friends, by loving and praying for our enemies, there's a bigger chance that we can even overcome evil in this world with good. If we love our enemies and treat them well, we will reveal to them in a very tangible way that the love of Christ is very different to the love of the world. And this is only possible if we remember that we were once enemies of God as well. It keeps us on our knees when we also deal with our enemies, because often we kind of get a, I'm better than you feeling. When we remember that we were once also enemies of God, it keeps us humble and gives us the opportunity to love our enemies in such a way that it could transform this world. We need to remember that we have been forgiven and transformed as children of God, and trust that the Holy Spirit will help us to fulfill this teaching today, because in our own strength, we can't do it. When we think about our enemies right now, in our own strength, it will be very difficult for you to knock on your neighbor's door and say, "Can I help you with your lawnmower?" But if we rely on the Holy Spirit and His power and His nudging, we could hopefully kind of gather up the courage to go next door and say, "Here's my lawnmower. Mow your lawn and then I'll just fix yours." You see, if love, the love of Christ is in us, and we allow it to work in and through us to touch others, it would be the identifying mark of Christians all over this world. For they will know we are Christians by our love. Our enemies will know we are Christians by our love. And we know that's the desire of every person in this room today. We know that because we can do that and truly show that Jesus is Lord of our lives and that we love Him and therefore want to obey His commands. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees on that day thought they had it right. Love your friends, hate your enemy. But Jesus explained it to His disciples and to us that we must live by a higher standard than what the world expects. Jesus knew that this standard was impossible to reach on mere human strength alone. But if we, God's children, past enemies of God, who have experienced His love and understand what it means to be loved undeservedly, will realize that we are no better than our enemies. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we would allow God to transform our hearts and minds to the extent that we can trust and rely on Him fully to love and pray for those who we consider our enemies. And then the rest of the text today would become true for us. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For your Father in heaven shows undiscriminating love to all people, giving His sunlight to both the evil and the good, sending His rain to the just and the unjust. Therefore, we who are His children must reflect His character and show undiscriminating love to both our friends and our enemies. God's love reaches out to all people. He reached out to us. And if we surrender ourselves into the hands of God in this way, there's a really good chance that God will use you to turn more enemies into friends and children of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the fact that through Jesus, You have changed us from enemies of You, Lord, to friends and children of God. And so today we just pray that we would surrender our lives in such a way into Your hands, that Your Holy Spirit would guide us to the place where we can indeed love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And in the hands of God, that the enemies of this world, the evil people, those we consider ungodly, would see Your love in and through us and be transformed just like we have. So that more and more people who are considered enemies of You, Lord, would turn into children of God. Help us, Heavenly Father, today we pray, to start living out this text in our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.